Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Coming up is the Israel Report with Rolene Marks, which I must be honest, is the insert that I've been looking forward to the most today. Rolene, are you there?
I'm right. I mean, where else would I be with such lovely words?
Rolene, so good to hear from you. You know that it's been almost 30 years since you and I last spoke in person.
Very strange for people, you know, who last spoke when we were only two. I mean, come on.
Touche, touche, touche. I'm giving away some secrets here.
Absolutely. Hey, in my 40s, I'm proud of it.
Rolene, tell us what's happening in Israel.
Well, the peace train seems to be traveling this time to Asia, but exciting things happening this past weekend. I know they always wait for me to come off air on a Thursday before, you know, peace deals are signed. How inconsiderate. But Thursday night we had the extraordinary news that Israel and Morocco have agreed to normalize ties. This is thanks to all the work around the Abraham Accords, the Trump administration, the King of Morocco, our foreign ministry and our administration here. But really good news for Israel's nearly over a million descendants from Morocco. You know, not many people until lately knew the story of the Jews of the Middle East and North Africa who were forced to leave their homes, many killed and persecuted when the State of Israel was declared. And now over a million Israelis can trace their roots back to Morocco. But this is tipped to be a warm peace. The Moroccan foreign minister saying that Morocco has a particular fondness for Israelis and for Jews. We know the King of Morocco has a particularly affinity relationship, particularly affinity, my English is gone officially, for his Jewish community and has done everything to protect it. In fact, Morocco will be the first Muslim country to teach Jewish history and culture, which is really quite extraordinary. But we are looking forward to this warm peace, as Bibi says, and as we speak, airlines are planning daily flights to Morocco, as well as scouting possible venues for embassies. So really, really good news. This makes Morocco the second African country to normalize ties with Israel following the Sudan. And just when we thought, you know, we had that beat, we heard the exciting news on Saturday night that the Kingdom of Bhutan. Now, here's some of you going, Bhutan, where's that? Well, I'll tell you. You don't even have to ask me, I'll tell you. Bhutan is a tiny kingdom in the Himalayas. In fact, it's landlocked, its borders border India and China. And what is really extraordinary about this is that this is not a peace that has a normalization, because, you know, we have to make the distinction between a peace agreement and a normalization agreement. These are not ties that have been established by the U.S., because Bhutan is an extraordinary country in that it doesn't have ties with many other countries. It's largely self-reliant, and they pride themselves on their happiness index. And Israel, the Jewish state, is one of those countries that this predominantly Buddhist country has decided to establish ties with. And yeah, very, very exciting news. And yeah, so long may the peace train continue. So now it's all being speculated which countries are going to normalize ties next. Who do you think will normalize next, Chad?
I don't know, but I want to go back to Morocco, because Morocco fascinates me. I know that a lot of Sephardi Jews that were in Spain, in Portugal, could trace roots to Morocco. We knew that there were a lot of other Jews that had originated in Morocco, but such a massive percentage in Israel, this is really the peace deal of all the peace deals we've seen this year that means the most.
Yes, well, in terms of like a cultural exchange, in terms of, you know, something that feels inherently Jewish in all of this, and almost feels like amends for the past that we have these ties. And what I found quite extraordinary is that, you know, those of us who analyze what is going on and cover the news, you know, a lot of speculation is, will it be Saudi next? Who will it be next? One of the countries that we can see the movement is also the Kingdom of Oman, another Gulf state. But very, very interesting is that Indonesia, a country in the, with the largest Muslim population in the world, is tipped to be one of those that is next to normalize ties, which is really a game changer. I know everybody's looking at the Saudis with a lot of interest. And, you know, if we look at these countries, we have Morocco, which we've just discussed. So many Jews from Spain, Portugal, and France as well can trace their roots back there, Jews from Israel. We now look at the Kingdom of Bhutan, a largely unheard of country, a great mystery, a very, very beautiful country. They've decided of all the countries they want to establish ties with, they're going to look to the Jewish state. And now we have this growing speculation that Indonesia, the country in the world with the largest Muslim population, could be one of those next. So we are seeing it's not just the Middle East that is changing and the sands that are shifting. It's maybe we can be so bold as to say the Muslim world is starting to change its attitude towards the state of Israel. But not to forget that Bhutan is a Buddhist state, and Israel enjoys strong relations with other Buddhist countries like Japan and China as well.
Well, somebody who loves trivia, it always came up that the question is, where would you find the most Muslims? And the people would invariably say the Middle East, and it turned out to be Indonesia. And it's incredible that a Muslim state, the size of Indonesia, is now considering peace. And of course, Saudi Arabia, hot on the heels. And this is something we need to watch very closely. Tell me, what's going on with a deal in respect of a prisoner swap with Hamas? We're hearing rumors. Is there anything on the cards?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion that there is possibly major steps closer to some kind of deals on a prisoner swap between Hamas and between Israel. We want the bodies of Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul, who fell in battle during Operation Protective Edge in 2014. And we also want the two Israeli citizens who are still being held captive, Aver Avraham Mengistu and Hisham Al-Sayed. We want them back safe and sound to their families. Shaul and Golden, we want to give a respectful burial, you know, within Jewish tenets and within the Jewish law back. But it's, you know, we're hearing so many different reports, some reports coming in from Gaza that they're really keen to go forward with this kind of deal because the area has been hit tremendously by the COVID-19 pandemic. Those numbers of infections are going up more and more every single day. We also have heard over the course of the weekend that the Palestinians will receive 4 million COVID-19 vaccines from the Russians, which will be distributed. You know, they will have to work in conjunction with Israel, with the UN, with the World Health Organization to get that through. But some elements within Hamas saying this is absolutely not true. Some elements within the Israeli government say we can't push for a deal. It would mean far too many prisoners who are terrorists with blood on their hands being released for this. And but the thing is that we have four families who are very, very anxious. They want the bodies of the two soldiers. They want their children back safe and sound. Hamas's spokesperson, Hazem Qassem, he denies any of these talks. In fact, he says this is a ploy by Netanyahu to enhance his personal stature in any expected Zionist elections. The Zionist media talk has no basis in truth. Drinking game, guys. You take a shot or whatever for every time somebody from Hamas says Zionist. And he says Netanyahu is still evading a decision in this issue and is manipulating the feelings of the families of the captured soldiers. Now, that statement is particularly hurtful because these are families that have been campaigning for a very, very long time and largely feel let down by the Israeli government, saying they haven't gone far enough to bring back the remains of their loved ones. But, you know, there's also that side that argues what will the price be? And, you know, it's always an Israeli tenet. It's a tenet within the IDF that we don't leave anyone behind and we have to do what is necessary to bring them home.
Rolene, in closing, we've heard that Bibi came into contact with somebody that is COVID positive. Are there any underlying health conditions that he has that's been made public that we should be concerned about?
Well, Bibi's heading to Bidud for the third time. This is the third time the Prime Minister is heading into quarantine after coming into contact with somebody who tested positively. You know, one thing about Israel is we demand to know everything, curious people that we are, and whether it's how much the PM and his household spend on ice cream, in particular pistachio flavored ice cream, or whether he or not he passes his health test. We need to know. And he did have a physical not too long ago, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, and he passed with flying colors. And hopefully he has no underlying conditions or comorbidities. And, you know, we also have to remember he hasn't tested positive. He's going into Bidud, which is what we call quarantine, just to make sure that everything's okay. And I'm sure that they will test him quite stringently over the next couple of days.
Rolene Marks of the Israel Report. I look so forward to chatting to you tomorrow. It was so great to catch up. Thank you so much.
Me too. Who knew that after how many years?
Well, it's actually 27, 28, but closer to 30.
We were still two at the time.
We were. We'll stick to that story.
That's our story. We're sticking to it, and I'll chat to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Rolene. It's now time for the news headlines.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.